We hope you find this WILL podcast to be valuable. A $10 voluntary credit card contribution at willpledge.org will help us continue to make podcasts of our programs available. Thank you. And that address again is willpledge.org. WILLPLEDGE.ORG. Now here's your program.
Good morning. This is Focus 580, Hour 2 of the show. My name's David Inge. Glad to have you with us. The producers for the program, Harriet Williamson, Martha Deal, and Henry Frain, is at the controls this morning. This station is listener-supported. Now here's what that means. That means that the bulk of the support, the dollars that it takes to make this place go, come from you. And that's been true for some time. And what's really notable is that as the other sources of funding have continued to shrink, this listener support, which is so important, actually has grown. And that's really a great thing because it's made it possible for us to continue to do what we do. But that also means that over time, that piece of the pie, of the funding pie, has just become more and more and more important. And we are now asking you to join with all of the other people who have made financial contributions to the station to keep it going. This is day two of a short campaign. This is day two of our three-day mini drive here for January. And we want to encourage, we're trying to encourage at least 250 people to make a financial contribution to WILL. So you can do that by calling us at 217-244-9455. You may also go online to willpledge.org. I think now more and more people are doing it that way. Whichever way, and you can decide how much. But we hope that you will make that decision to be a supporter. Start there, and helps us a lot. Martha Deal is here in the studio with me. She's one of the producers for Focus 580.
You know, there's the question of how much should you give? You should give what you can. But here's a suggestion. Give an amount that matches your use. If you tune in once a week, consider a $52 gift. If you listen every day to Morning Edition or All Things Considered, consider $5 per week. Whether you contribute a dollar or $5, it's your participation that matters most. If you give more than that, we're very happy to have that, and some of you are able to do that. And, you know, corporations have shareholders. At WILL, we do too. We call our shareholders the friends of WILL. And your contributions bring you the programs that you enjoy and rely on. Your pledge can pay an extra dividend to this drive, which goes until tomorrow night. Thanks to our generous partner, Common Ground Food Co-op, for every pledge of support made to WILL today and tomorrow, they will make a donation to pay the cost of three meals to Eastern Illinois Food Bank. So support great programs. Help feed the hungry. Two great reasons to call in your pledge. 217-244-9455. Or as David said, go online to willpledge.org.
Yeah. I think later on we can give people a little update and let them know how we're doing. But basically, I think we're about halfway. And that's to our goal for this mini drive. And that's great because we really just started yesterday morning. But we need to keep up that momentum. So maybe you've been thinking about it. You said, yes, you know, I promise I'm going to do that. Well, now would be a great time to do it. Don't put it off. Give us a call, go online, and help support the station that you value. Well, this is Focus 580. I'm David Inge. We're glad to have you listening, and we're also pleased here to have in the studio with us, once again, Dr. Lester Farner. He's a dermatologist at Christie Clinic in Champaign. Over the years, he has been with us a number of times. He is one of a We have several friends who are dermatologists who stopped by to do the show, and he's one of them, and we're really pleased that he could be here. We try to do health care topics on a regular basis. We have some that are more general. We have a family practice doctor who's here every other month, but also there are particular specialty areas that we like to look at, and because we know they always get a lot of questions, and skin care is one of them. So we have him here on the program. He's here to answer questions. Whenever we have doctors here, I always say same thing here when we start out. You know, do keep in mind that because the doctor can't see you, there's a limit to what we can do. But if you have questions, please call. And I know he'll do his best to give you some general information. And then, you know, from that point forward, you may have to pursue that with somebody who can see you. But here's a good place to start. The number is same as always, 333-9455. That's for Champaign-Urbana. Toll free, 800-222-9455. And you can also email will-talk@illinois.edu. Hey, well, thank you very much.
Great. Thanks for
being
having
here.
Me here.
I'm sitting here and I'm looking at your hands now, and I'm Do you have the same problem?
Oh,
and,
they're horrible.
And mine, you know,
dry skin.
So, you're not, being a dermatologist, you're not exempt.
I'm not only not exempt, I'm also negligent. I, you know, woke up this morning, didn't put on my hand cream, washed my hands in the office over and over and over again, and didn't put anything back on, didn't grab anything as I headed over here. So this is what happens to us.
Yeah. Okay. Well, for maybe that's a good place. We all probably that's in the winter shows. We always talk about that
right first.
The problem of dry skin, and it's seasonal, and pretty much it affects, I imagine, almost everybody.
Right. Right. And in fact, more and more, I see more children now because they're at school and they're getting all the alcohol-based hand sanitizers and the now we're all going to wash our hands. And, of course, I mean, these are all appropriate things that our grandmothers used to tend to do and now our school teachers and everybody else. Mm-hmm. So hands are dry, very dry.
Well, that, let me ask you more about that hand sanitizer because, as you say, particularly because we have concerns about flu, but also colds. You want to try to limit their spreads.
Right.
So that's the thing, the basic thing we said, wash your hands.
Right.
And now a lot of places where you go, they will have these hand sanitizers available, but they are kind of hard on your skin.
Well, yes. If your hand, in particular, if your hands are already dry and cracked because they're predominantly alcohol-based as a foam or a gel. So if you've got little holes, cuts, tears, cracks, fissures, then you jump because it really does hurt. But if you've got nice intact skin, they're actually, I find, preferable because when you wash your hands with the soap and water, then all the oils that you've liberated, they go down the drain and your hands get even drier unless you reapply something. But the hand sanitizer, the alcohol evaporates and it just moves innate natural hand moisturizers from place A to place B and place B to C, and then you just sort of are stirring them around.
Yeah.
And the alcohol kills the bacteria or, you know, disrupts the viruses, whatever. And so it's not all that bad. I think it's a little better than soap, but if you're already dried out to start with, you get a little avoidant because they hurt.
Yeah. Well, it's okay. So you go down to pharmacy, grocery store, whatever. So
right.
you go into the right. place where they have these things, and there's a million different kinds
right.
of products.
Yeah.
How do you sort among the choices?
Well, first of all, I like sort of common, ordinary mega creams. I don't like things with all sorts of special fancy additives. You're not going to get too much with the extra strawberry extracts and the, oh, look, it's got cucumber and jojoba. And there's always, every year's got some favorite thing. For a while, it was the tea tree oil, which smells like turpentine because it is, and all these other additives. So I like, and I just sort of pick standard brands. I like Aveeno and Neutrogena and Cetaphil and Eucerin and all these. And they basically have got, you know, Vaseline, petroleum jelly, petrolatum. They've got all sorts of creams and pretty elemental, though, because the fancier the additive, the ingredient list, often the more irritating they potentially can be.
Yeah. I guess one of the sort of the disadvantages is that the sort of the greasier it is,
right.
the better it is.
Well,
yes.
Yes. Well, kind of, yeah, because if you put on a lotion, if you wanted to make a lotion instead of a cream, you just get a blender and you put the cream in the blender and then you add some water and you frap it up and then you put on, it spreads faster and it dries faster, but it just means the water's evaporated and then you're left with a diminished amount of cream. There are some newish moisturizers and such, hand creams, that have got silicone in them. And the silicone's kind of nice because it doesn't wash off quite so well. And in fact, it's kind of like you can actually put on some of these. Some are prescription, some are non-prescription. And they actually make sort of a silicone glove-like effect on your hand, keeps the water from evaporating through your skin. You can actually hold it under the sink and sort of watch the water bead up just as if you just waxed a car or something.
Uh-huh.
And I, when I have people with pretty bad occupational hand problems, I'll often get them one of the silicone-based hand creams because it'll stand up to a couple washings before it has to be reapplied.
Uh-huh. And is that something that is available as an over-the-counter or is it only a prescription thing?
No, you know, actually, there were a couple of them that were non-prescription, but I don't remember the names anymore. But the silicone is often called, it's dimethicone is the form of silicone. So if you see that in the hand, in a hand cream, or they're less greasy. So you're and they're less likely then to transfer to clothing, local fabrics, paperwork that you're trying to do at work. You don't want to, you know, there's a nice Neutrogena Norwegian formula hand cream and it's greasy as all get out. You can't put that on and then send the TPX forms off to the boss with the cover sheet.
Yeah. Okay.
I think I got the letters wrong on that.
Yeah, whatever. We have as our guest in the studio this morning, Dr. Lester Farner. He's a dermatologist at Christie Clinic. So we're talking about skin care, and it could be people have questions about dry skin, but could be anything else, anything that has to do with skin. 333-9455, toll free, 800-222-9455, email will-talk@illinois.edu. And we have a caller in Mattoon, line 4. Hello.
Good morning.
Yes.
I have a question regarding my hands the last year or two from the second knuckle toward the end of the finger get reddish areas, like a pinkish-reddish area in various spots in different sizes or shapes. It might last up to about a month and kind of comes and goes. And I went to a physician about it. He said it was Raymond's disease. It's caused from, I guess, being cold hands and lack of circulation, and I don't find I had that situation. I went to look it up, and the symptoms I saw were more like white and blue and those kind of things, and mine just kind of a pinkish color. And sometimes it may hurt if you whack it against something, but I'm just curious as to what your thoughts about with that Raymond's disease.
Sure. What you're talking about is called Raynaud's. It's capital R-A-Y-N-A-U-D apostrophe S.
Yes, that's what it was.
Yeah, it's a French name, and it is... it's basically a vascular abnormality in which cold stimulates the little arteries that go to the tips of your fingers to constrict a lot. So a little bit of cold, and it doesn't have to be as cold as today, just even sometimes reaching into the freezer to, you know, to mix up some orange juice, makes the tips of your fingers incredibly cold and white because the blood vessels sense the cold, and instead of staying open, they clamp shut. Then as they, and it generally is quite painful, you don't see a rash in particular, you know, except as an accidental byfinding. And then they turn bluish and purple because the blood flow just is so stagnant. And then it hurts even when the blood goes back in. So if you're not having those color changes and vascular phenomena, then you really don't have Raynaud's phenomenon. You probably just have got some eczema on the tips of your fingers, and they just get, you know, they get dried out, they get irritated, and perhaps a topical steroid cream prescription strength might make that better.
What would have caused it the time before when I had it, but after it was over, when the fingernails grew out, they were kind of wavy for a period of time until the fingernail grew past that point?
Right. So are the fingernails normal now?
Yes.
Okay. So if you end up with a severe rash... around the nail bed, you know, around the corners, both at the back end and the sides of where the fingernail is, and it can be any sort of rash. It can be eczema, psoriasis. Dipped your hands in fertilizer or, you know, some sort of sanitizer when you're stripping floors, and that rash actually causes a short-term growth arrest or poor growth in the nail. Once that's under better control, as that nail grows out, you'll see the little ripple effect from the damage to and swelling and inflammation of the nail-forming tissue, which is actually just to the back towards you side of the finger. You also see this in people sometimes, little growth arrest plates for people who've had chemotherapy or a really severe nutritional problem, you know, in a coma for 2 months and your nails don't grow much, then they grow, and you'll see people with ripples and transverse ripples on the nails. So that's what happened. You basically had such a severe rash that the nail grew out with a little ripple. Now that it's growing out normally, you don't have to worry about it. Eventually, when it gets out to the tip, it'll get clipped off, and the historical record of your previous rash will be gone.
Okay, so in a sense, nothing really to do about, just kind of keep
your eye on it, and the next time you see a doctor, if you still have the rash in your fingers, they can say, gee, maybe a cortisone cream would help that.
Okay. Well, thank you then.
All right. Thank you. We'll talk next with someone near Lafayette, Indiana, Pine Village, line 1. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
I'm calling. I have Sjogren's syndrome.
Yes.
And Renault's too.
Great.
And I'm always looking for any new information. As you can imagine, my skin is extremely dry.
Right.
At this time of year, and my hair and my nasal passage and things like that. Do you have any recommendations?
Well, obviously, you've already got a rheumatologist, I'm sure.
Yes.
And do you have, besides the Sjogren's, do you have anything associated with the Raynaud's? That can be seen with lupus and some of the other autoimmune diseases.
I have arthritis, but so far no lupus or anything like that.
Good. Well, unfortunately, you know, the treatment for the Raynaud's is simply to stay warm.
Mm-hmm.
And those are pretty complicated measures that you have to take in our climate area around here. It goes to the, you know, gloves with hand warmers in them, you know, little battery operated gloves, all those sorts of things, letting somebody else do all the freezer work for you.
Mm-hmm. I keep a set of my husband's leather work gloves beside the freezer
right.
when I have to get in.
That's exactly what people have to do. And some people, when they have prolonged exposure to cold, they actually can end up with little ulcers in the tips of their fingers, and you really want to work to not have that be a problem.
I found that I would get ice cream headaches type response to cold rooms when I'm retired now, but when I was working and had to sit for a meeting and it was an extremely air-conditioned room, I would really get ill
right.
by the time I'd be home.
Right, right. And have you had the Sjogren's for a pretty short period of time?
I think I probably had it my whole life, but I did go through chemotherapy, and that's when it flared, was after
right.
chemotherapy.
Right. Yeah, for people who are listening, the Sjogren's syndrome is a combination of dry eyes and dry mouth, and it's part of an autoimmune disease such that you slow down the production of mucus in your salivary glands and your tear ducts, and it's hard to keep your eyes dry. Excuse me, it's hard to keep your eyes moist, so there are a variety of things. You have to put in artificial tears and drops, and sometimes they have to put little plugs in your tear ducts because the tear duct inside your eye, it drains back into the back of your nasal passages. And so if you're putting in the drops and they just drain in, there's got to be some way to keep it from spilling out so fast. So
the best response is just to go to Florida during the winter.
Well, I was going to suggest that.
Starting to sound better and better to me.
And you might need somebody to help you, you know, monitor your sunscreen use. So I'll be available.
Well, thank you.
All right. Thank you for the call. Other questions are certainly welcome. We're talking about skin care, and our guest is Dr. Lester Farner. He's a dermatologist at Christie Clinic. And questions are welcome. 333-9455. Toll free, 800-222-9455. And email well-talk@illinois.edu. Well, we talk about dry skin issues and having that for a lot of people, particularly being a problem with hands. What about sort of overall, if you just sort of feel sort of dry and itchy overall and you'd
right.
like to do some sort of whole body moisturizing, is there some really good way to do that?
Well, there's no easy way to do it. I was at the hospital the other day and one of the doctors came up to me and said, "Oh, I'm so glad to see you. I itch. I'm dry." And it's like, well, okay. I don't know.
What are you expecting me to
do? Right. Yeah, right. Find some lotion, put it on. And it's just so tedious. It's intellectually not very satisfying, but I will tell you, when people get dried out, they itch like crazy, and itching is truly one of the most uncomfortable of sensations. And the things that some people do in order to ameliorate it, you know, a long hot shower. Well, that's great because then you get that nice hot feeling, and then you get to dry off with a towel, and you get to scratch, and well, but it strips out extra. You know, and yeah. then you start running into that extra problem. I don't much like anything except putting on moisturizer. Other problems, I don't like bath oils that much because you don't like people slipping, getting out of the tub. And, you know, the bath oil just sort of sits in the water and then coats your skin a little bit. But you need to just sort of sit down and rub on your lotion. And it's very tedious. And for people who are in a hurry and tend to do – there are so many self-care things that we're supposed to do that we don't do. So that sort of makes the list of, oh, I ought to put my moisturizer all over my legs and my arms and have somebody help me with my back. And next thing you know, you're out of the house and you're shoveling snow and then you're taking a shower and then you're going to bed and you wake up and you're dry and you're itchy. It's the human condition.
Do you actually, though, if say you were to soak in the tub?
Sure.
Does your body absorb You, any of that?
Well, you absorb. Yeah, your skin actually absorbs water. If you sit in the tub or a swimming pool or wherever long enough that you end up with the wrinkled fingers, the reason your fingers wrinkle up is not that they are dried out like a raisin with the wrinkles. It's
the
because
opposite.
You absorb enough water that the skin that normally would be flat has to expand, so it elevates. So soaking when I have kids with eczema, which is very dry skin with extreme itching and a hypersensitivity to a variety of irritants and agents, soaking in a tub for 15 or 20 minutes is fine. And then you get out and then you coat with an all-over moisturizer and supposedly to trap that moisture in there. Mm-hmm. But, you know, so soaking in a tub isn't a bad idea as long as you get out pat dry instead of using the towel as an instrument of destruction. And then you put on lots and lots of some sort of cream.
Towels as instruments of destruction. Well, actually, I know exactly what you mean. You really have to be gentle about it and not, you know, vigorously rub yourself. That's only going to make it worse.
Yeah, it'll make it worse, but I tell you, scratching an itch is an extremely satisfying sensation, but then you stop when it hurts.
Don't scratch. Listen, it'll only make it itch more.
I'm an itchy person, and I know all the bad things that can be done to scratching with your skin.
All right. Well, we have a full bank of calls now, and I hope that those folks would not mind waiting just a moment. We're going to be real short here, but we want to bring you an update on how it is we're doing here in our short January pledge effort. We just started yesterday morning, and we'll be going tomorrow, I think, through about noontime. So it's a really short opportunity here for us to ask for your support and for you to give it. 40% of the operating budget for WILL Radio comes from listeners. That's a really important point. We can't do our work without the support of the people who listen. So right now we're asking people to call us and make a pledge. 244-9455 is the number. 217, that's the area code. Or you can do it online, willpledge.org. Right now you can help us continue to bring you shows like this one, Focus 580, and everything else that you depend on. When you want it to be there when you turn the radio on, right? Well, we want to be here too, and you can help with that. Martha Deal is one of the producers for Focus, a very important person for this show, and she's here to tell us a little bit about, can you tell us like where we are right now?
Will, but first I'm going to make my part of the pitch.
Okay, do that.
You're talking about the 40% of our funding coming from listeners. We are halfway through our membership year and so far on track with our goals. Let's keep the momentum going with your support. Make a pledge to Will Radio today. And I want to remind you all, in case it hasn't become emblazoned in your brains, we have an added incentive to offer when you make a pledge of support to Will. Common Ground Food Co-op has generously agreed to donate 3 meals to Eastern Illinois Food Bank for every pledge WILL receives during this 3-day drive. It's a perfect time to increase the impact of your pledge to WILL. So call 217-244-9455. Or go online at willpledge.org and join the 52 people who have called today for a total of 133. So we have hit the halfway mark, more than the halfway mark, on our goal to 250 calls. Please make that call.
All right. Thank you. We're at our midpoint here. We will take calls from people who are listening to this show. If you have questions for our guest, Dr. Lester Farner, he's a dermatologist from Christie Clinic. You can call us and you'll come right here to the show. No one's going to grab you and hope that you will pledge. I mean, obviously, we hope that you will pledge, but that's not required for this program. 333-9455, toll-free, 800-222-9455. You may also email your questions to will-talk@illinois.edu. Back to the phones, and the first person in line is in Champaign, line number one. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
I'm calling in response to the caller that called before with Sjogren's syndrome and Raynaud's syndrome. I, too, have both of those and discovered, I've had them for years and years, and discovered along the way that flaxseed makes a big difference. I use many fewer eye drops, and my mouth is much less dry since I use a ground flaxseed every day.
Okay.
A tablespoon of it.
This is something you eat then?
Yes. I eat it with yogurt in the morning, actually.
Okay. Very good. Yeah, flaxseed's got some of the alpha-linoleic acids and some of the essential fatty acids that your body can't make that are part of the barrier and, you know, barrier processes. I don't know the why it would work in Sjogren's, but I'm glad that it's working for you.
Yeah, it's kind of a miracle for me.
Very good.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, very good. Thank you. Well, we'll go next to line number two. This is someone in Bloomfield, Indiana, line two. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Doctor, I'm diagnosed with Groves or Grover's disease, which is an itchy kind of thing.
Right.
It creates a little head on the itching spot. And I've been given ammonium lactate 12% lotion to deal with that, which is effective to a point. My question would be, what is the origin of this? Is there something in diet or some other approach that I might make to get greater relief?
Sure. First of all, it's an interesting disease. It's called Grover's disease. It's got another name called transient acantholytic dermatosis, so you know why we call it Grover's. Named not after the Muppet character, but after the physician in Long Island who first figured this out, and it was pretty recently. It's, you know, in the last, I want to say sometime in the 70s. And it is generally chest, back, shoulders. It itches like crazy. Generally, it goes away. We have no idea what triggers it off. We say it's transient as part of its name, but some people it lasts for a while. Don't know the cause, as I said, but the ammonium lactate is helpful. No change in diet that I'm aware of would do anything, although there's, you know, it's always appropriate to eat a healthy, nutritious diet, and I always say that, and I'm always shocked at what people end up eating in their world. But topical steroids help. I had somebody who had a pretty severe and really very itchy case of it. I put him on some short courses of oral steroids and topicals, and eventually he got better. There are some people who say it gets worse after a brief sun exposures, and some people who actually improve a little bit with a little bit of sun.
I see.
So all it's right. Kind of a struggle, actually.
Well, thank you very much.
But there will be an end in sight with it.
Great. Thank
all
you
right.
very much.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Next up is a listener in Terre Haute, line four. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
I'm calling about my daughter, and I was interesting that you said that with the pressure on to wash hands in schools, because there's tremendous pressure. At my daughter's school, they brought this roving field trip where they put ink on their hands, and then they have them wash their hands and then look at it and then wash and wash and wash to show how long they need to wash. And they have these shows to go around for these kids. And the principal wrote it into his morning script, remember to wash your hands, children. And then President Obama said, wash your hands. And my daughter's hands were cracked and bleeding, and we kept saying, don't listen to the president.
This is a doctor show, no politics.
I mean about that. And then so we have lotion in every single room of the house, and every night we put lanolin on her hands.
Okay.
And we've got that under control, but now my problem is she swims.
Sure.
She swims with a team here in Terre Haute. She's in the water for over an hour, three times a week. And then, so I have, and now she's got this rash on her cheeks and her throat and going down her arms. And I think that it's from just being in the water so much. So I had some questions about how to cope with that. And one is that someone said swimmers put Vaseline on, but I don't know about that, so I wondered if you knew anything about that. And then the other thing is, when she gets out of the pool, she goes and she rinses in the showers.
Right.
But she doesn't want to have her conditioner and her Dove soap and all that stuff in her swim bag, so she just rinses. And then she comes home and takes a shower, which is a long shower. So I'm wondering if these... I told her she has to rinse because I want the chlorine off of her, but I'm
right.
wondering if two showers are worse than one and what I should do.
Right.
About, and then she's damp when she goes out into the cold air and the blowing heat in the car. So swimming is not natural at this time of year, I think, but go tell her that. So
how old is she?
She's seven.
Oh, my. Okay, well, I'm not going to tell her anything. But you know, she's right that she really does not have to wash her skin again, because what you're trying to do is get the chlorine or bromine off the skin. And that's water soluble that's in the water, and you just sort of rinse it off, and it's higher concentration in the pool. So just rinsing off and then putting on the moisture, you know, re-moisturizing with something would be an appropriate thing. And then not going home and taking a shower. And, you know, some years ago, I went back through the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, and it says nothing about a half an hour hot shower for every kid every single day, because it's just not there. So you really need to limit the length and the heat of the shower while they daydream and dawdle. Uh-huh. Help your energy bills. Help the whole world.
Well, we don't let her shower anymore unless on days she's swimming.
Right.
She's cut off. But right. So if I take lotion and have her moisturize after she just rinses.
Right.
Without water.
That really ought to do it. And if she does need to wash her hair afterwards when she comes home, you can, you know, do the old tip your head forward and shampoo only. And you don't have to get back in the shower and get all, you know, all wet again and then dry off again and then moisturize again. The lanolin's kind of interesting, because lanolin comes from wool that's been sheared off sheep. Lanolin is the natural moisturizer of sheep oil glands. Yeah. And in order to weave wool, first the hair is sheared off, and then it's the lanolin. You have to get it off it before you can work the wool to make fabric. So they're left, after washing the wool with this waxy, nice, oily, moisturizing natural product, it's pretty darn thick. Some people eventually, not most, but some rare people will end up with lanolin allergy. So I'll see somebody who says, oh, yes, I use such and such a moisturizer, and we do allergy patch tests on their skin. We find out it's called wool wax alcohol or lanolin, a variety of different names and the different products you can buy. I'm not telling you to stop, but if it turns out that she's trying to moisturize her hands and it's the summertime and she's still breaking out, you might want to try something that does not contain lanolin.
Her hands are pretty good now.
Yeah.
It's just her cheeks and neck and down her shoulders where we never use any lanolin.
Yeah.
That I think are, because when they swim, they're in and out and in and out of the water.
Right. Yeah.
Constantly. So do you know anything about swimmers putting Vaseline?
Oh, you know, they used to do that before they'd swim across the English Channel, and it stays on your skin. And I actually think you'd be better off with a regular cream, you know, an Aveeno cream or cream of a commercial cream, as opposed to plain old Vaseline. It gets pretty sticky.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
All right. Very good. And we'll come back here to someone in our area in Urbana, and line three. Hello.
Oh, hello.
Mm-hmm.
I was diagnosed about 6 to 8 months ago with Schomburg's disease.
Sure.
And I have this above my ankle, about 5 inches high, little pimples that are red in color. I was told that I could have this anywhere on my body, but I have it on both my legs, and it's like I have socks on, actually, but it starts from the ankle, and it's about 5 inches up, and that's it. There's no itch, which I told it could itch. And I was also told that the cause is unknown, and there's just nothing I could do about it. And I was wondering if you knew of any solution.
Right. Schomburg's disease, it's more of a condition than a disease, is little tiny ruptures in the superficial capillaries of the skin.
Right.
You get little tiny drops of, the color is described as cayenne pepper. They're little tiny petechiae, like little tiny, tiny, tiny blood blister looks.
Mm-hmm.
And then they fade and you end up with some tan staining left behind, because your body recycles the little micro drop of blood that ends up in your skin, takes away the protein, takes away the everything, except then the iron that's in the blood sometimes will stain the skin. So you often, even when you don't have the Schomburg as active little tiny cayenne pepper flecks, right. you'll end up with sort of that tan rusty kind of look there.
Right.
Indeed, it's unknown cause. Yes, you can get it many places. Most typically, it's from the knee down, so shins and ankle. You've got a very typical location for it.
I see.
Yeah, it's and you know, there's a superficial resemblance to vitamin C deficiency. So I always ask my, and which I've seen once or twice in my career. So I always make sure people are getting enough vitamin C, because that vitamin C supports vascular health.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard to be deficient in America, but some people occasionally are. And I have found a couple people that if you treat them with pretty high-strength topical steroids like class 2, which is just one step under the strongest, which is class 1, surprisingly enough, then you can actually make it a little bit better.
And what kind of steroid would that be?
Oh, the brand names are things like Lidex or Diprosone or Halog or Topicort or Elicon, things like those. You'd have to call the doctor. If you call the doctor, you know, I usually treat it with a little milder, but I found one person who actually did a little better with the little stronger topical steroid.
Uh-huh.
Whoever diagnosed it can maybe call in a prescription for you for a little tube and see if it makes any difference over. Oh, you'd take 2 month trial before you had any insight.
Would that interfere with the use of warfarin, since I'm on warfarin?
No, not at all.
Oh, okay.
Oh, interesting. Well, yeah, and it's interesting because warfarin obviously can cause severe bleeding problems because it's a classic, the strong anticoagulant. But the Schomburgs in the setting with that, I haven't faced for a while, but I doubt that they're at all related. But no, the topical steroid won't interfere with the warfarin.
Now, I was told to wear a support knee highs, that the support stockings would help cut down on any of the pimples.
I kind of doubt that a little, because the pressure of the hose are light enough, and the pressure in the vessels and those little capillaries is pretty low.
Capillaries, right?
Yeah. So I don't. I mean, you'd have to. The only way to support the capillaries would be to press them so hard that it pushed all the color out of your skin. So
right.
I don't think the knee highs would be a particularly good value.
And the other thing was, the nurse had told me to eat pineapple. That there's an enzyme in pineapple that helps the condition. Not to overdose on pineapple, but
For that to work, the enzyme would have to go through your digestive tract unaltered, and then go through your bloodstream, and then get out to your capillaries. So I'm thinking that that's a stretch.
Okay. And other than
pineapple's
that,
delicious and has lots of vitamin C too. So.
I know. I was told one man, one of the patients, began to eat a fresh pineapple every day. So she told me, you know, don't overdo it like that. But the other thing is, this is, as it is cause unknown, this is not an immune deficiency.
Well, when it's unknown, it's simply unknown, and you wonder if there isn't some little teeny pro-inflammatory thing going on. So it might end up in that category later, although it would be one of the trivial ones, first of all. Second of all, once in a while I see people where this is triggered by a little minor, I'll see little mini outbreaks of this, and it might be some little mini viral thing that triggers it off. But I don't think somebody will figure it out accidentally someday. No one's going to do research on this.
Right. Well, thank you very much for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Very good. Thank you. We have maybe about 10 minutes left in this part of Focus 580 with Dr. Lester Farner. He's a dermatologist from Christie Clinic in Champaign, and occasionally is on the program. We talk about skin care. So that's what we're up to. Questions are welcome. We have a couple of people who are ready to go. The number, 333-9455. Toll free, 800-222-9455, and email at will-talk at illinois.edu. Let's go to Urbana, line one. Hello.
Hi.
Mm-hmm.
I have a question about cracks in your skin. I keep getting cracks in my dry skin. I work with paper a lot.
Right.
But I get a crack straight down on my thumb or close to the nail.
Right.
Running up.
And they hurt like crazy.
At night, this aches like crazy, and I get it to where it's just about healed.
Right.
And then it breaks open again.
Right.
So I'm wondering what I could do to get it to heal. Should I cover it or should I keep it open?
Well, you know? First of all, I'll tell you what a lot of my patients do, and then I'll tell you what I think is even a little better than that. But some people will put an ointment on, maybe a topical antibiotic, but or even just some Vaseline, maybe a topical steroid if they have one, and then put a Band-Aid over it just to sort of hold that together and keep the medication on there. That's kind of okay as long as you're not allergic to the topical antibiotic or you're not allergic to the adhesive on the Band-Aids, and I see those things happening sometimes.
What kind of topical antibiotic?
Oh, but wait, I'm going to do something one day. And by the way, I don't have stock in any of these companies that I mentioned. I don't buy individual stocks because I'm not smart enough. But the NexCare is a brand of bandage. It's now in the Band-Aid aisle. It's a branch of the 3M Corporation. And they make something called Skin Crack Care. And it's, you know, it's where I shop for lotions and razor blades and whatever else on the weekends. So if you go in the bandage aisle, wherever you typically shop, and look for a white box with a red cross and it's NexCare brand, and it will say Skin Crack Care. And in that bottle, this is going to be the best under $10 purchase of the year 2010. It looks like inside the box is a clear bottle of nail polish. It's got a brush applicator, and it's not. You'll paint it on with the brush applicator. It doesn't sting. That's a good step. Next, it is a slowly polymerizing super glue. And people used to say, oh, put super glue on your cracks. But you buy a $1.19 tube of super glue and you put it on. And then, of course, everything else hardens in the tube. But I've got a two-year-old bottle of this. Don't share it with friends because you're going to be, or relatives, because you're going to be getting body fluids in them. Okay, but then you brush onto your thumb, your crack, your fissure, and it actually stays a little flexible. It keeps out the liquid from a potato. It keeps out the liquid from slicing onions or whatever else, so it doesn't sting, and it keeps your own fluids in there, and it hurts when chemicals get on there, and it hurts when so much water evaporates that you end up with exposed nerves. So that's like $6 or $7 at a place like Walgreens or Kmart or someplace.
Oh,
so you just paint that on there, and you don't want to be without it. It's great on paper cuts. It's great on little teeny tiny, you know, little burns or nicks or chips. You'll love it.
Nothing bothers it. If I clean my hands, it won't mess it up?
No, you'll wash it, and every 2 or 3 days you'll want a new application on there. And it does look a little bad because you'll paint it on and a little dust will get on there. It still stays a little bit tacky. It's part of its flexibility. So it doesn't look great, but it's so much better than hurting, and it looks better than a bunch of silly Band-Aids all over your fingers.
Well, thank you very much.
All right, very good. Thank you.
Kind of a trivial but really, really potentially painful problem.
Well, that's great. Well, I know, I'm sure we've talked about, or maybe other people have talked about, using super glue.
Yeah.
So this is...
They figured out some way to have
it. It goes one better.
Yeah, it doesn't turn hard in the bottle, and it stays a little bit flexible, so it doesn't tear off when you bend your thumb.
Okay. To another caller here, Champagne, line two. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
A couple of quick questions. I had keratosis on my eyebrow a couple of weeks ago, and it kind of spread around, and it looked like something was wrong, and I went back. And they said they've got blah, 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 and I don't know what it is. But anyway, they gave me two packages, T-gel, thermopathic shampoo, and Lokide lipid cream.
Right.
And I take it that you would do the shampoo first.
Right.
And then afterwards spread the lipid cream.
Right. So I didn't hear what the first diagnosis you had in your eyebrows was?
Well, the keratosis.
Okay. You
Yeah, I've had several of those.
Okay.
Right in the middle of my eyebrow.
Okay. And it's...
And then it came back and spread or something. I don't know.
Is it a dry, peely, dandruffy, pink rash stuff, or is this an actual growth?
Yeah, it's kind of gray. It's kind of the skin turned kind of gray, and it seemed like it spread across the eyebrow.
Okay.
Thing, and I'm sorry, I didn't, but there was some name for it, and he gave me these two items.
Okay. Well, that's the treatment that I would give to somebody who had seborrheic dermatitis in their brows, and it's basically like having dandruff in your eyebrows. You can get it in your beard, you can get it in your scalp, and the shampoo And that's a good shampoo. You just sort of lather it up, you rinse it off, and then the Locoid Lipo Cream is of a strength that's appropriate to use on your face for short times. It's a nice moisturizing base, so you really ought to be able to control this in a week or so. And then don't get too obsessive about it. Stop, and then if it comes back, treat it again. Because you don't want to treat consistently and persistently, because eventually it loses some of its oomph and maybe you could thin the skin there.
Right.
So treat it
intermittently. The other quick question, shingles. I get some of these medical newsletters.
Oh, yeah.
And one of them said, shield yourself, get vaccinated against shingles.
Sure.
I am 80 years old. And,
right.
They very strongly recommended that, and I hadn't heard anything much about that in a long time.
Well, the vaccination's been out for maybe 2 or 3 years, I want to say, and it's a little expensive. But and once you're over, once you're 80 or above or 70 or above, even the efficacy of the vaccine goes down a little bit, but the persistent pain and debilitation of the shingles that you can get even after the acute infectious phase is pretty great. I've seen it really sort of ruin people's overall health and well-being. So I think that it is an appropriate recommendation to get the vaccination.
Yes, I know somebody that's got it. It stays. It stays and stays.
Yeah.
Shingles.
It's a really persistent and debilitating pain. So getting the vaccination is worth it, particularly when it works.
Okay. Thank you very much.
We will try to get at least one more caller. Line 3. Hello.
Hi. Yeah, I've got two questions. One, I sometimes use Eucerin Plus, which has alpha hydroxy in it,
yes.
And I noticed in the warnings that it leads to sensitivity to sunlight, and one should use sunscreen, and even for a week or so after using it. And actually, I was wondering, first of all, is that sun sensitivity only apply to the area where you use the alpha hydroxy thing, or does it apply all over the body?
No, it wouldn't be systemic at all. It would be just where you put the cream.
Okay, that's one. Thanks. And the other thing is I tend to have eczema a lot during the dry weather, and I've taken to just avoiding bathing generally.
Right.
And I kind of worry about my friends and so forth. But that seems to help somewhat.
Well, that makes perfect sense. You know, every American has the phobia of offending others. And really, the idea of lathering up a nice washcloth and scrubbing on your arms and your ankles and all these places where, you know, you simply don't generate a lot of what we call funkiness in the medical world, you know. So really, if you focus on your foldy parts and use your soap and rinse there, and you don't have to be, you know, unless you're out there, you know, doing concrete or shoveling mud or, you know, doing really hard, heavy work, you really don't need to be all soap, soap, soap. So I think you've made a good accommodation.
All right. And I think here we're going to have to stop, and I must apologize. We have one person that we can't take, but we're just at the end of the time. I expect, though, somewhere not too far down the road, we'll do another skin show when it comes around to the warm, sunny time. And I don't know,
sure.
Maybe Dr. Farn will be here. Somebody else will be here. We can nag people about wearing their sunscreen when we do that.
Sunscreen and skin cancer, sure.
Hey, thanks very much.
Okay, thank you.
Dr.
Lester
Farner, he's a dermatologist at Christie Clinic in Champaign. We want to thank these folks for their support. Support for WYLL comes from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium at 203 North Vine in Urbana, with wines for the series collector to the first-time buyer. This Saturday's wine tasting features 10 Pinots from around the world. More information is at thecorkscrew.com. Support for the broadcast also comes from Warden Martin Subaru in Savoy. At Subaru's assembly plant in Lafayette, Indiana, a zero landfill status is designed to help save cost and our future environment. It's part of what makes a Subaru. A Subaru, information online at wardenmartin.com or call 352-8910. Hey, we hope we can thank this bunch of folks for their support, the people we call the Friends of WILL. And they are listeners who not only just like us because they think the shows are good, well, they think that we're good enough so that they're willing to help pay part of the cost of the programming. And now is the time to do that. We take a few times here and there throughout the year to ask people for their support. And we're doing that here now, and we're trying to make it really short. We just started yesterday morning, and we'll go through part of the day tomorrow. We're hoping that over this time we can hear from at least 250 people or get 250 calls towards support of the station. You can call us at 217-244-9455. You can give online at willpledge.org. But we hope whatever way you want to do it, that you will do it. It's real important to this station. Martha Deal is here. She's one of our producers.
You know, David, the truth is that the quality of our news, music, entertainment programs are directly related to the financial support that our listeners give us. And that means listeners just like you out there sending in your contributions. Your gift allows us to invest in the people, programs, and technology that make this one of the top radio stations in the country. And we ask you to keep it that way. We want to thank the 54 people that have called in today for a total of 135 calls on our way to 250 calls. So that means 115 to go to make that. And when you call in with a pledge of support, when you donate during this mini drive, the added benefit is that the Common Ground Food Co-op will donate the cost of 3 meals to Eastern Illinois Food Bank for every pledge we receive. WILL Radio, Common Ground Food Co-op, and you making a difference in a partnership, a difference that helps all of us.
Yeah, just do keep in mind that 40% of the money that it takes to operate this station comes from voluntary support of folks like you. That means people like you. It makes it possible for us to do our work and for you to know that when you turn the radio on, we're going to be there. This is one of those times we say, we hope that you will step up. We want to thank people who have already supported the station. But if you haven't, well, this would be a great time to do it. And you can also help us with this challenge sort of thing that we've worked out with the folks at the food bank and the food co-op. So right now, if you haven't done it, take the opportunity. 244-9455 is the number. Or you can go online to willpledge.org.
And it's up to you how much you give.